you know, if you think back through the ages and through the years, we heard the cry among churches of Christ to preach the word, which is what we need to be doing, right? We need to teach the truth. But now, oftentimes what we hear is the phrase that we need to make it relevant. You know, it seems to be that there is a different focus on preaching today. So my question is, and what got me thinking was, is the old time first principles type sermon simply a thing of the past where we sit down and we talk about salvation, we talk about living in a right way, and we talk about the scriptures and we read from the Bible about how we are to live and how we are saved from our sins? Is this first principle sermon a thing of the past? Or is there a place for it in today's society? What type of message should we be preaching and teaching in today's world? Is that different than what we've done in the past? You know, the problems of the poor, the inequity of the conditions of some people in our society, the problems that immoral people face, the difficulties which burden social outcasts, in short, the problems of all the downtrodden in our society should be a concern of any sound thinking person. And it should be of special concern for those of us who follow Jesus. But does that mean that our preaching should depend on the problem of tomorrow? The problems of tomorrow's news articles and the problems of tomorrow's television shows? Should we cater our message to the problems of what ills society today? If we don't need to do that, how do we make it relevant anyway? The word relevant, the definition of the word relevant, means pertinent, fitting the requirements. Everybody who is a teacher or a preacher of the gospel of Christ should be striving to preach a message that is relevant to their audience. Whether that's somebody like me or Charlie or Robert standing here in the pulpit, or maybe if you're a Bible class teacher, this applies to you. Or maybe you're having an individual study with a friend or a family member. It applies to you as well. So the question is, how do we determine what is relevant and how do we present it in a relevant way? In order to do this, in order to understand this, we need to see what a relevant message is and we need to identify the ways that we can present it to other people. And the first point I want to make this morning and the first direction I want to look is through the inspiration of the scriptures. You know, in these last days, meaning the New Testament age, the last days in which we are living now, Jesus was chosen by God to be his spokesman to all mankind, right? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So when God originally was speaking to his people, he did so how? Through the prophets, right? But now, how does he speak to us? Obviously, we can take their words and apply it to ourselves, and we can use their words for our learning. But more recently, God speaks to us through his Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke of Jesus this in Matthew 17:5. It says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Jesus chose 12 men to be apostles to carry his message to everybody, right? He promised them something, which we can read in John 14, 26. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Because the apostles were not dependent on their own knowledge, their own memories, their own research for the accuracy of what they were preaching. Because they had the help of the Holy Spirit, which should be of great comfort to us, right? I don't know about you, but I don't know that I would want to be writing a letter or a book that is going to be around for the rest of human civilization and rely on my own wisdom, my own knowledge, right? I'm sure that brought them great comfort, as it should to us, that we know that the Holy Spirit was guiding these men into what they were writing. Jesus called the Word of God truth in John 17, 17. And he told the apostles that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all the truth. And they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Lastly, the message which they preached was inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. The apostles, as Jesus had promised, were baptized with the Holy Spirit about 10 days after he was ascended back to heaven. We read that the apostles went everywhere preaching the word, and they were guided by the Holy Spirit. As the apostle Paul described it, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn there, we'll begin at verse 11. Paul describes it, 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 11, we'll read down through verse 13, which says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And it was this God-given guidance that would enable Paul to write later that all Scripture is inspired of God. See, it's the word which they preached and wrote that was inspired of God. 1 Timothy 2:13 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." If the message that we teach and preach is not relevant or fitting, we need to take a moment to remember that the people who wrote what we are reading today wrote as God directed them. If we think their message is old-fashioned, then let us have the courage to place the blame where it belongs. Jesus told the apostles in Luke 10, 16, he says, "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." To those people who think that the word of God is not relevant today, then Christ is not relevant to them. The words that we preach are the words of Jesus. And scriptures tell us that there are going to be people, there's a lot of people, historically speaking, and even in current day, who rejects Jesus. And what does that verse say? He, in Luke 10, 16, "He who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So if we are rejecting Jesus as being irrelevant, then who are we rejecting as well? We are rejecting God. Let's take a moment to think about the power of the word. When the gospel of Christ was preached on that day of Pentecost, and at that day the church began about 2,000 years ago, we read this in Acts 2:37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" And what that verse tells us is that it had a power, that lesson that we read about from, we obviously know, we understand through reading Acts chapter 2 that there, all the apostles were preaching, but we have Peter's sermon recorded in Acts chapter 2. And we understand that the words that Peter was speaking to them, it had the power to convict the sinner. And had the power to lead that sinner to repent. Because Jesus had told the apostles that the Holy Spirit would convict the world. All have sinned and Christ came to save sinners, right? He came to save us from our sins. So my question for you this morning, what could be more relevant in the world today than to hear a message that convicts the sinner and pierces them to their heart? Now, a lot of people don't want to hear this, right? They reject it because it's not convenient. They reject it because it doesn't support their lifestyle. They reject it because it requires sacrifice. But friends, sin separates us from God, doesn't it? What could be more relevant than the word of reconciliation which the apostles preached? Sin separates us from God, but guess what? We have the answer to the test. We know through the scriptures how to be reconciled to God, right? Scripture is very clear on that. Remember, there are people who are going to reject Jesus, and by rejecting Jesus, they're going to reject the Father God. We have to teach a message of reconciliation to show people that they can know if they're saved. And they can know what they need to do to achieve that. Man was separated from God, but man can come back to God only through faith. Mark 16:15-16. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" And Peter said in Acts 15:7 that people should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Paul says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Because we as human beings, as we as people, are saved by our faith, we are justified by our faith, we are kept by our faith. Now the gospel of Christ, which was delivered by the apostles, is the source of faith. What could be more relevant than that? If we indeed are saved and justified and kept by our faith and our obedience that comes through our faith, what could be more relevant than a message that teaches us about our faith and that helps to establish our faith? We often hear people say that they need a message that will develop greater spirituality. My question to that is, what is the source? I fail to see, friends, how neglecting the instructions of God's word can make somebody more spiritual. I don't think that works, does it? Of course it doesn't. The Apostle Paul said of that word in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." When someone says that they want something that moves them inside, right? Paul tells us to look at the word of God. Because the word of God will move you. The word of God will work in you if you have that faith. The work of a preacher. Extend this to say the work of a teacher. The work of anybody who is proclaiming the word of God. Some say the preacher needs to get out to where the action is. I agree with that, but not if we allow worldly standards to define what the action is and where to find it. There are some who seem to feel that the preacher should be engaged in marital counseling, mental health problems, and similar ills that are in society. And the preacher oftentimes does do those things, but it's not a requirement. A farmer, a factory worker, a retired person, they may do the same thing, but it's not their work. It's a part of what we do as a Christian. The work of a preacher is to preach the word. The work of all of us is to share that with everybody. Some would like to see a preacher get involved in civil rights, rights of labor, 100 other causes that we could talk about. But those things aren't necessarily not really his work. I've heard people say this, I'm sure you have as well, that if Jesus were on earth today, he'd be leading the fight for equality and justice for this cause or for that cause. But think about this for just a minute. The conditions that we face in our society today, these conditions were the curse of mankind when Jesus was here, weren't they? Was there no poor neighborhoods back then? Was there no homeless people back then? Were there no wars? Was every working person treated fairly in Jesus' time? In other words, technology changes, cultures change, but the things that are of ill to society really don't change that much. Do you think there was infidelity in the first century? Did you think there was unjust treatment of children in the first century? Of course there was. A lot of the causes that we could take up today in one way, shape, or form existed in Jesus' time as well. But Jesus didn't lead a demonstration or otherwise get involved in politics. Jesus, despite what the Jewish people were looking for, he did not lead a political revolution except through using his word to change the hearts of people. I think there was a certain element of upending what people believed of religion, right? I mean, we see that in the New Testament. Jesus did lead a significant and marked change in how people view their relationship with God, but he did it through teaching the word of God. He was not a great military leader. He was not forcing anybody to obey him. He used his word to change the hearts of people. You see, the work of Jesus was far more important than the conditions of poverty and inequality. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." He also said in Matthew 16, 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" The work of Jesus was spiritual. His gospel is spiritual. And that's a lesson for us today, in that if we're doing the work that he gave us to do, we will work in the spiritual realm. The end result of the work of a preacher is the salvation of souls. And there's a lot of good we can do for the community, and I think, you know, we do have a responsibility to do that. Scripture teaches us that. But our primary responsibility is what? Sharing the good news. To be evangelistically minded. To be concerned with the salvation of people's souls. To present a message that will convict the sinner and thereby lead them to a saving faith. That's our job. To present the gospel of Jesus to those who need to be built up in their faith, That is our job. To tell people plagued by all the insurmountable problems of this world and then to present the teaching of Christ about a better world, this is our job. To convict the lost sinner and to edify the follower of Christ, this is our job. Let's not get sidetracked from that. Our mission is to share the word of God to others. How do we make the message relevant? The Apostle Paul wrote to a young preacher named Timothy. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In a nutshell, there it is, right? Preach the word. We don't need to worry about making the message relevant. Christ has already done that, hasn't he? All we have to do is preach it. The word of Christ has never become irrelevant, and it never will. The words of Jesus, the words that we read in the Bible, meet the most basic needs of sinful man because it points them to salvation through Christ. It pointed all of us, right? It fills the empty hearts of the lonely with the love of Jesus. It promises to the homeless an eternal home with God. It promises to the friendless a great fellowship in Christ. In short, the gospel of Jesus meets all the real needs of mankind. And regardless of all the cries for relevance that we see, we know what the answer can be. True relevant scripture is what we, or true relevance in our preaching and our teaching comes from God's word. Society overall, sometimes they look different directions, don't they? But it's our responsibility to stick to the word of God and nothing else. This morning, if you are challenged in your walk of faith, if you are struggling with being relevant and how you feel you can support the work of Christ. This morning, if you've got a sin that's keeping you from doing the work that you know you should be doing, there's an opportunity to come forward to ask for prayers of encouragement and forgiveness. If you haven't obeyed the gospel this morning, you haven't taken that first step, you have... And you've realized that you're convicted now to make that all-important decision to be saved from your sins, to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity now to do that as well. Brother Sammy's going to lead us a song of invitation here in just a moment.